You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev and the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado. 0% financing for 84 months, plus up to 10 grand in price reductions. This is better than employee pricing and better than 20% of MSRP. Check it out only at Lakewood Chev. As it's the annual Labor Day weekend, you got the Eskimos and the Stamps on Monday. You got the Argos and the Tiger Cats. Last night we had Montreal and Ottawa, not with the same flair, not the same history, of course. And then you have on Sunday the annual Bombers and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Riders back to 500. The Bombers are rolling 7-2 on the season. Mitch Blair from 620 CKRM in Regina joins us. Scruffy, what's happening?
It is Labor Day weekend, and we're just sort of awaiting an influx of people from Winnipeg. I would like to think that they put some gates up at the border, but they don't do that, though. So we're expecting the arrival of Winnipeggers very soon, Jason.
Nice. Well, hey, that makes it fun. It's always great. And, you know, some are wondering, have the Riders arrived in your mind? They dominated an Edmonton team that, well, frankly, from Mike Riley told us on the show yesterday, he sucked. He wasn't very good in that game, but full marks for the Riders to beat him in all three facets of the game. But, you know, Winnipeg comes in, they're playing great. What's been the difference in the Riders the last few weeks?
The difference has been really, I think they've been a more confident group. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't see that coming last week in Edmonton. I've been on record as saying, you know, the Riders, they were saying all the right things, and then they go and play a road game against a Western Division opponent, and they get squashed. And I thought that, you know, they had to put in a better performance against Edmonton going into that game after winning before they went on the bye in BC. And I said they have to show that they can compete. And they just weren't doing that. But as we saw last week at Commonwealth, they did that. Now they have to build on it. They're taking on a Winnipeg team that, you know, they won't come right out and say it, but they sort of basically gifted the Bombers that game back with them there on July 1st when Mosaic Stadium opened up. The Bombers have had several games this year, as you know, where they've won on the last play thanks to a Medlock field goal. I'm not completely sold on the Bombers yet. I'm not completely sold on the Riders yet, but I think the next 2 weeks are obviously going to tell the story for these two teams as far as we go into the second half.
It was interesting. Grant Shaw, former Eskimo, was tweeting about how in Winnipeg, when they played, they were like, man, we're just lucky they had Drew Willey as quarterback because he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn and the Bombers had open receivers. And things that we didn't see coming, I'm not sure many people thought when Matt Nichols left Edmonton that he'd go to Winnipeg and absolutely tear it up because he has been excellent.
Yeah, you know what? He has been. And I'm a guy that, you know, I keep going, is Matt Nichols going to someday wake up and look and see that he's got Nichols on the back of his jersey and not Brock or Clements or Jones? And he just continues to get the job done. And, you know, you can't take away their record. But that being said, they've got a lot of tough games to play against Western Division opponents. So we'll see what happens. But right now, you can't take anything away from the Bombers for being 7-2. The Riders feel that they can certainly can compete with them, and there's no indication that would say they couldn't going into these next two games. So the next 2 weeks are going to be a lot of fun around here, as it usually is at this time of year.
Looking at the Riders' defense, because the Bombers' offense has been outstanding. Now, you know, specifically Harris, a guy who's challenging become the first player in CFL history and only the third player in between the NFL and CFL to have 1,000 and 1,000. You don't necessarily put a spy on him, but which linebackers are going to be the ones with the responsibility to try to shut him down in the receiving game?
I would think that responsibility would go to the man in the middle, that being Enoch Kwamba. But certainly, though, I think everybody, you know, it's not just Andrew Harris going to one side of the field doing his thing. He's going everywhere. So I think that everybody's going to have to keep an eye out for him. He's going to have to be a guy you have to account for at all times. And do what they have to do. I don't know, you know, obviously there's film on him as to what teams have done, but he's done it against everybody. So I don't know if there's something out there that they can do to neutralize him or not, but I would think Enoch Kwamba will have a very busy afternoon chasing Andrew Harris around the field.
What's your thoughts on Kevin Glenn? We saw Adams in a little bit in Edmonton. You know, are they trying to, you know, have a, I guess, a succession plan with Adams Jr. as the guy. Do you think that's the long-term play for the Riders and that we're going to see him more as this season progresses?
Well, I think as long as the Riders are winning and have a chance of being in the playoffs, I think this thing is going to be Kevin Glenn's for as far as they go. I think Vernon Adams is the answer moving forward. I think, you know, there's a lot of people here that believe that James Franklin is still in the equation. I think that Franklin probably gets traded before the end of the year because the Eskimos want to get something for him, and he won't be back. I don't think he's coming here. And it's funny, a few weeks ago, everybody was going, you know, when the Riders were struggling, you know, maybe we should be giving Brandon Bridge a chance and this and that. And then all of a sudden, the Zach Collaros rumors come up, and everybody's going, well, oh, you don't want to take Kevin Glenn out of there. So that's the way things go in Riderville. When you're hot, people say don't change anything. And when you're not, they're looking for change. But right now, Kevin Glenn, I don't think anybody expected Kevin Glenn to be putting up the numbers that he's put up in the first half of the season. He certainly put up better numbers than Darian Durant and has sort of shut that conversation down for a while. But I think this is Kevin Glenn's team for the rest of the year, unless things go south on this team and Chris Jones decides he wants to start building towards 2018. And really, there's no indication to say that Kevin Glenn won't be a part of the equation here next year the way he's playing right now. But yeah, I think the sign or the trade of Vernon Adams, I think, is a sign that that's what they're going to go with moving forward, because Kevin Glenn, as well as he is playing, we all know that he is on the downside of his career.
Yeah. Mitchell Blair joins us from Regina. Bombers and Riders will kick off the Labor Day weekend on Saturday. I will disagree with you. James Franklin, I don't get the sense, will be dealt until the offseason, similar to Mike Riley when the Eskimos acquired him in the summer and gave up a second, just because I don't think the Eskimos want to go into the playoffs in case there's an injury and then have a number three with no or backup with literally no experience. So I think he'll stay through till the end of the season, but they do trade him, and they'll trade his rights, similar to Mike Riley back in the summer of 2000 or offseason of 2013.
Yeah, and I could see that happening as well. But as I said, there's just that general thought process that Chris Jones wants James Franklin here.
Oh yeah, he's not getting
him. Vernon Adams, you know, is a guy that's a Franklin hybrid, obviously, and has a little bit more under his belt than Franklin. I think there's that thought process that if he doesn't get Franklin, there is that thought process that the Eskimos will deal him. But at least if they don't get him, they've got somebody they can work with. Although that being said, and he's only got a short sample size from the preseason, but I think if Marquise Williams gets a chance to play, I think he could be outstanding because I really like what he did at North Carolina. And here at training camp, he looked pretty good. But he's number four on the depth chart now. But I think if he ever gets his chance, he could dazzle in this league.
Mitch, what do you make of, you know, the East and the West right now? Now, Ottawa last night won again, and they look like they've kind of woken up finally. There's a lot of talk to people to say, would it be better to just have a 9-team league and just go top six? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm all for that. I've been debating that with Rod Peterson, who, of course, is the voice of the Riders and a co-worker with mine. And I know he's no stranger to you because you've had him on several times. Rod thinks you got to keep it East versus West. It's a Canadian tradition. I want the best teams playing at the end of November. Now, it was said, well, an East team won the Grey Cup last year. Well, okay, yeah, that happened. But I think, though, that it would be better for the CFL if you had the top six making the playoffs, 3-6, 4-5 in the first round, top two teams getting a bye, and then you go from there. And then, you know, you still got your 3 weeks of playoffs. And I think you're getting – are you going to get East versus West? You might not. Will it hurt if you're having a Grey Cup in Ottawa and you had two Western teams? Yeah, it might. But you know what? I think the fan bases of all the teams are what makes Grey Cup. And I think at the end of the day, if you get a great game, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, 100%. I don't know if we need East versus West anymore. I think you'd like to have best on best. And you know what? It'll force the team. Because right now, and it's been that way for quite some time. We've never, ever seen Eastern teams cross over to the West.
No. And when was the last time that the Eastern Conference had a power team? It's been a long time. It's always been the Calgarys, the Edmontons, the BCs, the Saskatchewans. You know, they've been the teams that have been ruling the West over the past decade, and there's never been a team in the East that has been a 12-6, 13-5 team. So I think it's time that they need to take a good look at this and make some changes. Something they can go back on, they can if we ever see some balance. But right now, there's just no balance as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and why do you think that is? Is there just more pressure for the West teams to manage themselves better?
Jason, that's the million-dollar question. I wish I had the answer for that. You know, if it was a 1 or 2 year thing, I could say maybe it's a blip, but it's not. And I don't know what it is. That could be part of the reason because there's that pressure there. But isn't there pressure to win everywhere? So I don't know what the answer to that question is. If I knew what it was, I'd certainly get it out there.
Quickly, how's the new stadium being received in Saskatchewan?
They love it. Now, they have problems with the water, but that was, I think, a little bit overblown. I'm sure you guys know what that story is all about.
No, what's wrong with the water? Like, there's no water fountains?
That was part of the problem. When the Argonauts were here, it was a 34-degree day, and there's only so many water fountains in the building, and some people, you know, didn't think smart enough to think that they should bring some water with them to the game, and there were big lineups, and a picture was shown about this, and all of a sudden, there was a big kerfuffle about there needs to be more water stations here. And it's like, okay, it's not going to be 34 degrees every day, people. And if you think about this, there wasn't any water fountains at the old stadium. So why are we talking about this now? But yeah, for the most part, that stadium has done tremendous things for not only the city of Regina, but the province of Saskatchewan, the Riders, Guns N' Roses. And I know they were at Commonwealth Stadium the other night. They were in Regina last Sunday night. They never would have been here had it not been for that stadium. There was a soccer game here earlier this year between Valencia and the New York Cosmos. That would have never happened had the stadium not been here. It's being received quite favorably by a lot of people, even some that were against it right off the bat.
Well, do they sell water at the game?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, okay. So.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But that was the thing. Like, that was the other thing. People were going, wow. They're charging $4 for water here. Have you ever been to a game at Rogers Place it's just people having to figure out what happens with the new life.
Did they get a lot of new fans suddenly? They were just crawling out from a rock, just getting out of their combine for the first time or what?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both.
Mitch, always good to catch up with you, man. Enjoy the weekend. It's always fun.
Sounds good, Jason. Have a good weekend.
Mitchell Blair from CKRM in Regina.